Testing, testing, hello, hello, testing, testing, hello, hello, hello. Are we back on our bullshit? Welcome to Insequeer the Podcast. I'm your insequeer as fuck ass host, Chloe Beck. And if you're tuning in, bitch, guess what? You're tuning in to season two of Insequeer the Podcast. And I am still at insequeer as fuck ass bitch you met in season one. And if you haven't met me at season one, I highly recommend you go back. There's 25 episodes of What the Actual Fuck Is My Life. But guess what? We're about to get into 25 more, maybe 50 more, maybe five, because seasonal depression and mental health. But either way, if you're here, you're queer, or you love my queer storytelling, then bitch, let me tell you, I got some stories to tell you all. So, to be fully transparent, instant, right out the gate, saying the same shit that I said last season. To be fully transparent, I'm still insecure as fuck. Insecure as fuck about some of the same shit. Insecure as fuck about some new shit. Insecure as fuck about what to do about being insecure as fuck. But that's not what this episode is about, because guess what? I'm so insecure that I don't know what the fuck it's about, but I do think it's about this. So, a few days ago, I turned 34 years old. Oh, God, 34 years old. Chloe Beck, 34 years old. And my birthday is February 3rd. There's a really cool song out there by Georgia Smith called February 3rd, and I just love it, and I feel like she wrote it for me, so I highly recommend you listen to it. But I turned 34, and I just kind of want to talk about what that means for me and what my birthday typically means for me and what it's going to mean for me moving forward, okay? So picture it. 34. What I will say about turning 34 is that it feels like a lie, because I don't feel like anybody's 34. I don't even know what 34 feels like, but when I hear the words or when I see the numbers, it feels like someone who has, oh, I don't know, their shit together. When I think of 34-year-olds, I think about people who are probably married with at least one and a possible children, people with joint savings accounts, probably two cars, a booming career, probably fresh homeowners or getting to get to that place where it's time to move out of their posh New York apartments and buy their first home in Schenectady. I don't know if that's a place, but it felt right. I was going to say Connecticut, but Connecticut is the ghetto, so I don't want to buy my house there. But what I will say is, whatever the image of 34 is in my brain and I put my body next to it, bitch, it ain't that. So I told myself, I don't typically think about my birthday until around New Year's. So around January 1, I'm like, ooh, it's looming. It's looming. It's coming. It's a month out. What are you going to do? Are you going to do anything? Growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, my birthday was always on a Tuesday or Wednesday. It was always around the time I got my report card, so my mom could see that I was talking too much or got bad marks in math. So she would always use my birthday as a time to like gauge how much she was going to be mean to me. She's like, oh, bitch, you're great, so guess what, you're not getting a birthday party. What she meant to say was, bitch, I don't got no money for your birthday, so you better hope that you fucked up in school so we both don't have to be disappointed with how this is going to play out. But throughout my life, I don't have really positive birthday memories, moments. I remember the first time I was ever going to have a birthday party. I was going to have a joint birthday party with my Uncle James. And while it wasn't on my birthday, like, I was super excited because I did have a bad report card that year. I think I was turning 12 or 13, probably 13. This checks out. For my 13th birthday, I was celebrating it with a 56-year-old black man. But jokes on me, because I wasn't celebrating with my Uncle James, because on my way to the party, my mom and her best friend got a call, to which I remember sitting in the back seat. She had a silver two-door Plymouth something or other. And I was sitting in the back seat with the cake. In Cleveland, Ohio, we have this cake called the Cassata cake, and it's like a strawberry shortcake layered white cake, strawberry custard, strawberries layered like a lasagna, but it's called a cassata cake. Can't find the bitch anywhere, so it must be a Cleveland classic similar to the Polish boy. And I think we invented the corned beef sandwich, but specifically the gas station corned beef. But I have gotten off topic. If you're new to this podcast, get used to that, because I do that very often. But back to the story. Picture it. Cleveland, Ohio, probably 13th birthday party, sitting in the back seat of the two-door with the cake next to me, my mom's best friend My mom was waiting for her best friend to come outside of the funeral home, which my uncle owns, and they both worked at the time. They were shutting up the funeral home to go to the party center for my joint birthday party with my uncle. We'll never forget this, right? So I'm sitting back there trying not to be a fat bitch and tease the cake or touch the cake or jolt the cake, when bitch, the only thing that came out of this situation's hole was the cake, because I definitely don't remember eating it. But I do remember I'm sitting in the backseat, my mom's sitting in the car, and this lady's name, Parker, she comes out and she kind of motions for my mom to come. I'm like, ooh, this got to be a good thing. They got to have a gift for me, right? This has to be some shit about the party, like what else is about to turn up. Then my mom goes out to the car, like, what the fuck's going on? What you want? To which she shuts the door, so I don't hear anything. And all I do is I'm looking at them have this exchange at the door, and then I look at my mom, look at me, and like she kind of makes this. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, I'm still recording. As you can see, I keep having to touch the screen because my phone keeps blanking out as if I'm not fucking recording, which in all reality, I am not recording. So this will not be on there, but I'm just going to push record now because I totally forgot to push record because I'm a doofus. So I see my mom and she is like very like visceral, like very like, my mom does this really like, damn, like what the fuck, kind of like Florida Evans, damn, damn, damn. But my mom does it like a hood nigga, like if Florida Evans and the nigga who was fucking Jody's mama on Baby Boy had a baby, it would be my mom, Claudia Beck, and she was channeling both of them niggas in this moment. And then they both kind of just get in the car, and my mom is driving, and like we're driving. And I'm like, I don't know what the party is. So like we end up at my grandmother's home. And I was like, okay, this checks out. Everything happens somewhere near my grandma. Maybe she got to pick something up. Maybe they forgot something. Whatever the case may be. But they're like, hey, get out the car. I was like, okay, we're getting out the car. I'm down for the fuck around. And to which, fun fact, I black out when things get too aggressive for me. So I don't remember the rest of it. But I do remember finding out that my Uncle James was found dead at his house the day of our party. So, I mean, while I can't really remember many of my birthdays before that, except one where I was six and it was in the projects of Cleveland, Ohio, and there was this really cool Mickey Mouse cake with Mickey and Minnie, and they had these really cool plastic toys and these big balloon thingies. And I remember having a project party, but I remember not being at my party. I remember sitting on the sidelines of my party, and I will never forget that. I just remember one minute I'm sitting there watching everybody else dance and kick it, and like I'm a wallflower at my party, and I see my godmom across the living room. I'm making it seem like we were at the fucking Kardashians' house, but it was literally like I could probably touch her distance. But actually it wasn't, because the projects in Cleveland was big as fuck. Like if I had to go back to the projects, I would like to go back to the size of the projects where I lived, but not the area code. I remember just not being engaged at the party, just watching people party. And then I remember being in front of the cake. Don't remember eating the cake. Something traumatic must have happened there because I blacked out. So we go from the six-year-old party where I wasn't even there to the 13th birthday party that was supposed to be my favorite cool young Uncle James, to which he was found dead and had a heart attack. So that pretty much paints how Chloe Beck feels about her birthday. So after the big James Beck death of my 13th birthday, my birthday came and went. It came and went. It came and went. 18 was, I don't remember 18. Oh, I broke my ankle for my 18th birthday. Let's talk about that. So for my 18th birthday, not the actual day, it was like actually February 18th, if I remember correctly, I had two options. It was go to one of my friends, Zach's house. Zach was this cool white kid who looked like Fred Durst, but fat. Like if Fred Durst and Stewie Griffin's older brother, is his name Chris, if they had a baby, it would be my friend Zach. He had the spiky hair. It's a terrible time. I look at me, I have spiky hair. It was either, we were all in ROTC, and like they were the bad boys of ROTC. Like we all had the best crisp shirts, the coolest drill sergeant and all this shit, but like there were some of us who were like super goody two shoes, and there were some of us who would go to Zach's house and like drink a beer while we like shine our shoes. And like this particular time, Zach was having like a more party type party where there would be more than like three beers that six people were sharing. Or I could go roller skating with my friend Tabitha and Melissa. If you remember, I talked about Tabitha in the 12 days of Podmas, and she was one of my five failed friendships. So this is that story. So I could have either drank some beer with Zach or go on roller skating with my friend Tabitha. And I chose roller skating because in my heyday, in my prime, my family used to go roller skating like the way people go to Disney or amusement parks or carnivals. Like, we were a skating crew, like, all skate. So I said, oh, I haven't gone skating in years. The last time I had probably gone skating was probably around that same year that Uncle James died. So I was like, feeling all nostalgic. So I was like, fuck it. I want to go skating for my birthday, right? So me and Tabitha and Melissa, we get our skates. I asked for 8.5. They said we don't do half sizes. Either you go a half down or a size down or a size up. I made the human error of going a size up because I thought my socks were thick enough. Fast the fuck forward, I broke my leg in three places on my birthday, my 18th birthday, and I was in the cast until I walked onto my college campus at Bowling Green State University. So after that, my birthdays were drunken. Woo, get drunk. I was always very miserable and like Eeyore. And like, I have a friend who will tell you that from the ages of maybe 19 to about, dare I say 30, my birthday was a day that I just wanted to die. I wanted to disappear. I wanted to make it not about me because it's never been about me, but I didn't want to put the energy into my birthday to then realize that, oh shit, people really don't fuck with you. And now you put yourself in this hurt place because, yeah, you knew they didn't fuck with you. So that is my truth about my birthday. I typically play very small on my birthday. I try really hard to like ease out of it and like not make a big deal out of it because I think that'll be one of the most specific times where people can disappoint you because people have always disappointed me for my birthday, right? So I'm just like, fuck it. So fast forward. So, oh, my friend will tell you, she's like, she would pick me up for my birthday. I would sit at the bar drinking 151 because I was born at 1:51 p.m. in Cleveland, Ohio. For those of you bitches who want to do my birth chart and figure out if I'm the one for you, I'm probably not. So I would literally, she would park me at the end of the bar. It would be me, her, whichever friend or flavor of her week was. She would just feed me drinks. I would be deceased. And then they would let me play Amy Winehouse, Aretha Franklin on the fucking jukebox, wherever we were. And the minute it struck 12 a.m., I was litty fucking too titty. Every year, it's just like I literally die on my birthday. And then the next day, turn up, right? It's a fucking turn up. One year on my birthday, I was actually, I probably can't tell you much of this story, but I was actually for my birthday, on my 18th birthday, I was actually in the process of pledging Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated on my campus at Bowling Green State University. And trigger warning, traumatic. So much so that me and my sorority sisters still have a joke where like the tagline is, Chloe, we're so sorry it's your birthday. So I can't tell you all the details of that because Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated is a non-hazing sorority and I'm paper is paper is paper. So, but to that point, birthday was shit. So if you get the pattern thus far, there's really like a angst around my birthday, right? Like it's a little shitty. Like my only fond birthday memory was turning 30. When I turned 30, I was renewed. So in true Chloe fashion, I at the place where I worked or currently work or in the process of not working, I was pseudo popular, but the lines were drawn between who's your friend and who's not and who gon' people would fuck with you until they had to say it out loud that they would fuck you. Like I'm everybody's closet cuddle buddy around this bitch. Well, it has been my experience to be the closeted cool kid that people want to fuck with but don't want other people to know that they fuck with when all of y'all are fucking with me. And if y'all realize y'all was all fucking with me, we could all just fuck each other. But ain't that some fucking bullshit? Not my story for today. So fast forward. 29 into 30, I was like, people really fuck with you. They're saying they fuck with you out loud. Like, enough people fuck with you who don't fuck with the people that don't fuck with you that you won't feel away. Like, I often put myself in places where I didn't want people to have to choose between me and this other entourage of what the fuck, because I often felt like they would pick this other entourage of what the fuck, and then I would have to do the adult thing and then excommunicate myself from those people because I, like I said, I need ride or die people in my life who are going to be in my life with me. So I never wanted to test people's loyalty because I already knew what I kind of thought about their loyalty, but I was too weak, too insecure, too scared, too scarce, too abandoned, and too lonely to really say, all right, ultimatum, old tomato, I need you bitches to rock with me out loud, Instagram official, Facebook official. So I never wanted to put people in that place because I just felt like they wouldn't choose me because I felt like our friendships were superficial, right? So I was like, ooh, people are like, ooh, what are you doing for your birthday? And like, I also work and live in a place where birthdays are like most people, most cultures, most jobs, we need any reason to have a drink. Oh, bitch, it's Tuesday, turn up. Oh, bitch, it's Wednesday, I like wine. Oh, bitch, it's Thursday, I'm thirsty. Oh, bitch, you got a promotion, party time. Oh, bitch, you got fired, fuck it up. Like, so it doesn't take much for niggas to throw together a happy hour where we all buy this one bitch 55 drinks and then the next birthday we do the same thing. Like, we just cycle through the same $300 here where I am. And I was like, I don't really want to know if these niggas not going to cycle that 300 my way. So I'm going to just slide out, right? So my sister's soulmate, sorority sister, Jennifer, for my 30th birthday, she took me to Colorado. Colorado, the place where I did my first dab. Colorado, the place where cannabis is legal. Colorado, where everybody was high, like the entire state. I don't know if Colorado's a state. I don't know much. We know what I don't know on episode 2 of Things I Don't Know. The 12 Days of Podmas. I don't fucking know. And just so you know, I'm going to continue to tease other episodes because I need you all to go back and listen because the bitch has been dropping gems. And sooner or later, when I get over my insecurities and I make this shit Patreon, you bitches are going to pay me for it. So you better enjoy this free shit now. But I digress. So she takes me to Colorado. It was like the weirdest, calmest. Colorado looked like how New York looked during the NYC pause during the pandemic. But that was their normal state. It was like 4 cars in the whole fucking city we were in. Everything was so vast and poverty was very high, but people were happy. Like, instead of asking for cash, they're asking for chronic. And I was like, I could be poor here. But she and I had a soul sister time, so much so that I almost had to go to the emergency because somebody doesn't follow directions and I ate way too much of some things I shouldn't have ate and it was embarrassing. I threw up everywhere. I was like, ooh, this is the 30. I'm going to turn my life around. But I was right, foreshadowing, because after that 30th day, I ended up getting weight loss surgery where you kind of throw up all the time when you eat the shit you're not supposed to eat. So foreshadowing. But that's not the narrative. Just to say, I chose not to do the thing here for my birthday. I went away to Colorado, had a phenomenal time, and then I eased back into New York City, and I escaped this big, oh my God, will they, won't they, do they love me, do they not love me, will they choose me, whatever the fuck. So my guard is down. I'm thinking, ooh, bitch, made it through 30. Loved it. It was chill. Had no big aha epiphany, but it was fine, right? So then some people who I chronicled on another episode, they're like, hey, bitch, we want to take you out for drinks. Just us, low key, chill shit. Okay, I'm like, okay, bitch, let's do that. I go get my hair cut. I go get my nails done with one of my colleagues or whatever the fuck. Like some chill shit. Like nothing out of the ordinary for me. We get to my favorite bar. This bar, I'm a regular, so I'm talking shit to the bouncer. Hey, what's up? What's good? What's good? I bust a right, turn around. Surprise! The biggest party. Like, people, faces, names. It was a cold, wet, slushy day. And that's another part of my birthday that sucks. When you have a February birthday, what the fuck is the plan? There is no rooftop. There is no happy hour. There is no hookah. There is no reason. Like, I don't want to make people come out in the slush, snow, sleet, rain. Because, bitch, I don't want to be out in the slow sleep rain. Like, if I had a July birthday like I deserve, or whenever Leo's days are, people tell me I give you Leo energy. If I had a Leo birth date, bitch, everybody's naked at my party. But since I'm born in a good old depressed ass Aquarius, go with the flow ass, water bearing ass February, fuck my birthday. It's usually on a Wednesday. My birthday is always on a Wednesday. It was a Wednesday at Minor Hall, bitch. It was a Tuesday in Minor Hall. I know my history. My birthday is always in the middle of the week, and it's always in February, and it's always gross, and people are already celebrated out between Thanksgiving, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Martin Luther King Day. They're like, bitch, we just gotta go to work in the morning. Fuck you and your birthday. But this day, I was wrong. Everybody came. People who I didn't even know, who became huge parts of my life, came. People who and brought gifts and had cupcakes, and I had never felt so loved and so joyous and so appreciated than that moment. And I told my truth recently to a friend that the only reason why I got that birthday is because I told a lie. I shared some things with these people who threw the birthday party that I instantly know was just something that they were going to pity, and then they did what they did. Well, that's what I think, because I like to create narratives to make things make sense, because God forbid they actually just want to have a birthday for me, right? But I don't know. But I truly believe it's because I said something that I said that, while true, I said it in a way that would invoke someone to spring into action, because my words matter and they move people. That's why you're here listening right now. I'm moving you to like, subscribe, rate, share, link, pass it on, retweet. I'm doing that to you now, right? So anyway, so 30 was lit. 30 was a great time. 30, I had never felt so loved. Like, that 30th birthday is what jump-started me getting weight loss surgery, which jump-started me going to therapy, which jump-started me loving myself. 30 did the thing for me. I will always love 30. Hashtag this is 30 will always be, like, I'll get that shit tattooed on my forehead. But now, as I'm sitting here at 34, I don't even have to tell you about 31, 2, and 3, but I can if you want to. So 31. Fresh out of weight loss surgery, had not the same entourage of 56 people who came to my 30th birthday party, maybe five texted me the next year, which leads me to believe that all that shit is fake. People go where the invite is. It wasn't about me. It was about saying that they A, got the invite, and B, they were in the picture, and C, who the fuck needs a reason to drink, right? That's how I truly feel now, but that's neither here nor there. So 31, none of those people came around. Nothing happened. A love interest at the time that I thought that I had done amazing things for her birthday. I thought for sure she would reciprocate in some way, to which she didn't. And it made me have my first one night stand. It didn't make me, but it left me feeling so lonely and vulnerable that I had my first one night stand with someone that I didn't even know was a one night stand. I thought, like, hey, you want to have breakfast after this? And she's like, sorry, I got a Super Bowl party to get to. I'm gonna head out. Ouch. Yeah, that was the same year where I had my first official drink. I went to Dallas Barbecue. And for those of you who are not familiar, Dallas Barbecue is this terrible little barbecue place, air quotes. But it's like they have these big gangster ass wings that are definitely on steroids. And they put Hennessy sauce on them, or no sauce. They give you a big ass hunk of cornbread. And they also give you a little ass hunk of here go your check cupcake. But everybody goes. While I see a lot of people in there eating the wings and the dry ass food, and they give you sides like yellow rice. Like, bitch, where's the mashed potatoes with my ribs? Like, but I'm not here to drag them. They might sponsor me one day. Probably won't, because I'm no thanks. But anyway, they're known for these big, massive ass fruity drinks. Like, they do a Moscato Mama, they do a Tsunami, a Henny Colada, and they come in these big ass glass chalice things, and they go from like regular jumbo Texas size. Chloe pre-surgery, queen of the Texas size, bitch. If I'm gonna get drunk, I love two things you need to know about Chloe Beck. I love a slushy, I love a chopped ice, and I love me some motherfucking liquor. And they, the one thing they get right, if they don't get a single thing right on my order, is they get the motherfucking drinks right. So right that I got one and it went so fucking wrong. You hear me? So I was smart. I was like, ooh, weight loss surgery. Don't even waste your time, money, energy on that Texas jumbo shit. Get you the standard ass little strawberry. So I get it. I'm drinking. Literally three strawfuls, and I feel my stomach go a blue blue blue. It goes a blue blue blue, and I said, oh, a blue blue bitch. So I was like, oh, this is a new feeling. That's not normal. I'm gonna head out. I gotta go. But since I was feeling like I needed to do something destructive outside of drinking this over sugary ass drink on my new stomach. I had surgery in October. It is now February. Like, what is that? Not even a year. So my new weight loss surgery stomach is full on cardiac arrest, right? But I'm like, I'm walking down one of my favorite streets, St. Mark's Place in my neighborhood. And I'm like, ooh, get yourself a piercing. Just get a piercing. It's no big deal. And I was like, your stomach hurts, but this looks quick. It's empty. Blah-de-da-de-da. So I walk in, I get the piercing, or I gotta go through the paperwork or whatever, whatever. So I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm with this nigga, the nigga who pierced me, he pierces me all the time. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, ooh, there's my piercer. Couldn't tell you his name. He's got a bald head of snakes and snake tattoo shit. Might have a split tongue. He's real into his art, if you will. But he's really good, like precision piercing. Like, I mean, but for whatever reason, it was taking him so long. I'm like, nigga, open the needle. Something's wrong in here, but I've already swiped my card. I've already paid. I need you to pierce me so I can be on my way. So I'm literally sitting on the edge of the seat, and I am holding on for dear life, and I fucking feel. This must have been what it felt like when Moses parted the Red Sea. I felt my sphincter. I felt that bitch just blow, like, you know, iceberg right ahead. I felt my sphincter, like, if this is your sphincter, for those of you watching, I got my hands clamped, like, tight. This is your sphincter. I felt my shit just say, whoop, just like, whoop, I'm gonna head out, like, whoop. So my sphincter gives way. Nothing's happening, but there is no support left in my bowel system. There is no hatch. There is no hatch to batten down, right? There is batten down a hatch. There is none of that. The hatch is open. It's like on the Titanic when they say it, if it would have just filled up the first two divots or the last three, but once you go one, two, three, bitch, we sinking. Bitch, my asshole sank in this chair, and I haven't even gotten pierced yet. And I know for a fact, if I hear another blub, 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 there is no longer a door to stop the blub. There's no more plop. It's just going to be blub, blub. Okay? 31. This nigga pierced me. I was a block and a half away. I literally did not make it to the toilet. I made it to the bathroom. And on my 31st birthday, I shit myself because I drank a drink because I was feeling depressed and lonely because, oh, I don't know, my birthday fucking sucks. And now I like to self-fulfill that by doing some fuck shit. So on my 31st birthday, I shit on myself. And I mean, from there, it can only get better, right? Oh, the lie detector test. You know, I don't even take the test anymore because I already know it's a lie. Like, if I bring Lil Daquan and say he belongs to Jay-Z, I'm lying. So I don't even, don't take the test. Don't take the test if you don't want to know the answers, right? Let's talk about that later. But anyway. So 32 happens. I'm in a relationship with Satan, and I was very specific. I was like, you know, I can't keep letting my birthday rock out like this. I'm going to tell you the whole fucking truth. This is what I want for my birthday. Can we just do this thing? All I want to do is go to Flight Club. All I want to do. No bells and whistles, Flight Club. I just want to walk out of that store with a fucking bag that says Flight Club on it. Now, for those of you who don't know, I think I chronicled this in another episode because I like to talk. It was called 11 L's on Sneakers in the 12 Days of Podmas. This is a store that is like a sneaker enthusiast dream. Anybody who knows sneakers on the East or West Coast know they need to make it to Flight Club. And it's almost as exclusive as a Supreme sticker or Supreme t-shirt. But Flight Club is the place where people purposely go to buy marked up shoes that they can get at retail down the block at Foot Locker. It's a status thing. Now, I did not say, hey, take me to Flight Club. I want the Marty McFlys. Hey, take me to Flight Club. I want the He Got Games because I got them my motherfucking self because I got game. I didn't say, hey, take me there and give me the Red Octobers because I love a good old Kanye reference. Now, I didn't say anything. I just said, take me to Flight Club. I could have bought a t-shirt. I could have bought some bumper stickers. I could have bought a pair of fucking Chucks and Converse and Vans. They have so many fucking shoes at every price point at this place. I just said I wanted to go. Very crystal clear. Couldn't have been more specific. My partner heard that and said, guess what, bitch? Fuck you and your birthday. I'm going to do the most dumbest shit ever and make you feel bad for me fucking up. I'm not going to get into it, but let's just say, if you know another thing about Chloe Beck, I love the Chrysler Building. How I ended up at the top of the Empire State Building on my birthday, which is also Super Bowl Sunday, where there was no reservations for dinner on Super Bowl Sunday. And how, if you also know me, I fucking love Too Short, Shake That Monkey. And I got two short vinyls and not a single song on there with Shake That Monkey. That was my 32nd birthday. After I bought a bitch vegan cupcakes, cookies, rented a fucking yacht, dealt with some fagolo shit, lived my fucking worst life for her day, and got cussed out because I said she was 36 and sexy because she didn't want people to know she was 36. That bitch looked 90. I will never, ever understand how this is my life. But here we are. We're going to wrap it right on up into 30 fucking three, aren't we? 33 was cool. I didn't do shit. Walked around with my partner, ate a lollipop, took a cool picture, didn't request much, don't think I got much. 33 was fine. Now, 34 in the pandemic, Chloe is a whole new woken up bitch. 34, Chloe is like constantly on the journey of self, constantly trying to figure her shit out, constantly teetering between be so grateful for what you got, but also, bitch, you are so ambitious and this is not enough. I spend my life there. I spent my fucking life there and it is exhausting. So I said, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to think about 34. Because another thing that Chloe Beck does is she makes these grandiose posts and statements and soliloquies and monologues with a random ass picture when a bitch just want to write because I want to be a writer, but I'm too lazy to write unless you tell me I can't write. Then, bitch, I'll write you a book, the podcast. And I just said, you know what? it's the pandemic. I'm just grateful to be here. So many people didn't make it here. I'm just going to chill out. I'm going to just ride this on out. I'm not going to do nothing special. And about a month, maybe not even a month, maybe 2 to 3 weeks before my birthday, I said, you know what? I don't feel like I am 34. I don't feel like I should be defined by that age. I don't feel like I should care about what people think about me at this age. I mean, look at me. I have blonde hair. I'm a tattooed freak. I'm so eclectic. I'm a sneaker enthusiast. I'm living a very manicured, curated, insta-cool life, but I'm actually living it. I live it so much that I don't even post it. But I was like, I am not going to let 34 tell me where I'm supposed to be, because for all of the years where the way I look and the way I maneuver spaces and the, some would say, the immaturity that I am expressing in my expression of clothing, body, and self were things that I probably should have been doing it from 18 to 25. And so I could be awake by 34. I wasn't capable of being that free at those ages because I was depressed, because I was 400 pounds, because I was in abusive relationship after relationship, because I have hereditary issues, because I have chemical imbalances in my brain, because I was unwell and so ungrateful because I could not see a reason to be grateful, because I could not see a reason to live. And now that I've been working through that shit and I can see clearly now, the trap is gone. Bitch, the trap ain't never gone. It's always here. But I said to myself that so many things, so many experiences, so many truths took my 20s from me, and I'm not going to be beholden to what 34 looks like. So I said, you know what, bitch, I'm reclaiming my 20s. That's my hashtag, 34, reclaiming my 20s. I'm going to do whatever the fuck 24-year-old Chloe wants to do. I'm 24 years old again. 24-year-old Chloe with this amount of knowledge, with this amount of truth, acting as though I'm 24, living as though I'm 24. I'm unstoppable. The unstoppable Chloe Beck is 24 years old. Right? That's what I told myself. I told myself, 34, not me, whore. 24, I'm out the door. So I did what I always do. I made this beautiful post, said all these things about what my life has been. I was like, people have to be tired of hearing about your woe is me story, because I was tired after I read it. For the first time writing one of my, I'm never gonna, I refuse to, I'm gonna. And then like I saw people engage with like, yeah, okay, happy birthday. All right, happy birthday. All right, happy birthday. And it made me feel like, why are you sharing so much with people who could barely even remember your birthday if you didn't post that it was your birthday? And I got dismayed very quickly, because I'm like, I don't, as much as I know my body, my mind, my spirit, my energy is that of a 24-year-old person who is young and thriving and amazing. The truth is I still have 34-year-old heartbreak. I have 34-year-old insecurities. I have 34-year-old goals and 34-year-old dreams, because I listen to somebody's definition of what these times are supposed to mean. The one thing I will say that is true about me, removing this energy around what 34 has to be or should be, and I thank COVID, is because all of this shit, time is a construct. I mean, rest in peace to the greatest, Cicely Tyson, 96. Every day she says she's amazed. Every day she wakes up, because that means she has more to do, more to achieve, more to aspire to. And she did the ultimate thing. If she didn't hit us with the I'm a head out, I don't know who did. She wrote a book, bitch. She wrote a book, was on tour for that bitch. And once that shit hit shelves, she said, I'm a head out. And she did. Died of natural causes at 96 years old. So many of us don't even fucking know Cicely Tyson's work. We know her for being old regal royalty, Hollywood royalty, fucking segregation stomping ass, black excellence, you know, marching and creating and loving and just being the epitome of grace, honor, and authenticity. So many of us don't know about her role in Mrs. Jane Pittman, or that she was Kunta Kinte's mama, or that she was in Women of Brewster Place, or the, you know, like, people don't even know what she did to make her the amazing person that we know who she is. So I said, in my 34/24, whatever quarter life crisis this is, I am not going to be beholden to anybody's timeline ever again. And that's the one truth that I have for 34. But when I tell you 34 couldn't have been worse for me in terms of the things that I allowed, the things that I unearthed, the things that I accepted, the regrets and untruths and mistakes. What I will say is for my 34th birthday, I took a walk around New York City. I walked for about 4 to 5 hours and I cried the entire time. I cried. I yelled. I laughed. If I could have had a film crew follow me that evening, I would be an award-winning documentary. I can guarantee you that. The things that that came out of my mind, my body, my spirit, my hurt deserved to be seen and or heard. So if any of you got the privilege to walk past me or fall apart in any of that narrative, you are fucking welcome. And after that, I came home, I cooked myself dinner, I watched TV, and then I went on with my life. And while 34 was jarring and it took me off my path because I told myself I was going to record on my actual birthday so I could really chronicle what it felt like. In most things, in all things, we have a plan and God laughs, right? So here I am. This is like February 8th. And while I've had time to sit with all those things, the first thing that I did for my mental health and my well-being is I removed myself from social media because I was getting back to that insecure place of, what are you going to record? When are you going to record? Like, what the fuck? So I told myself that on February 3rd, I was going to log out, to which I didn't. I did not log out until February 4th because I got an amazing fucking tattoo. I got an amazing tattoo. I got an amazing tattoo. I got a tattoo for my birthday. I paid for it with that check that Donald Trump sent us. Well, half of it anyway. And I got a tattoo of Mac Miller on my fucking right calf. And I am in love with it because I'm in love with him. I love it. I got a tattoo. I took some days off work. I did nothing with those days. Did not record on those days. Just sat in my feelings on those days. But I told myself I have to record. While I'm not a pop culture podcast, so there needs to be dates, time, specificity. There needs to be urgency. So I've created a timeline for myself similar to the one I created in season one about how I had to have X amount of episodes before I went live. And I've given myself that same deadline. So I'm reclaiming my time. I'm reclaiming my podcast time. I'm reclaiming my timeline. And what I said out loud is that I'm reclaiming my birthday. So for 35, I'm doing so many things. For 35, because something that I unearthed on that walk at 34 is like the universe is giving me the birthday that I keep saying I deserve and or want. If I play small on my birthday, if I'm silent about my birthday, if I'm quiet about my birthday, if I leave my birthday into hands that couldn't even give me what I want for my birthday because I only know what I want for my birthday, the universe is going to say, oh, you think your birthday's shitty? Let's make your birthday shitty. So 35, bitch, from shitty to litty. The hashtag. So, all of that to say, I had a birthday and I had a lot to say about it and I just wanted to get it out. So now I want to pivot because we can say you're 24, we can say I'm reclaiming my time, we can say all of that stuff. But the truth is, you can say a lot of things, but until you feel it, believe it, experience it, we know it's not true. So I'm going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what 24-year-old Chloe would have done or what would 24-year-old Chloe have liked to have done at the age of 24 or what does this Chloe want to do? What does this Chloe think 24 looks like? Because I feel like I'm dressed like it. I feel like I act like it. I drink like it. I smoke like it. I live like it. I think 24 is omnipresent because I think I the one thing I do exude that is 24 is ambition, hopes, dreams, no training wheels to a lot of things. And I want to keep that energy. But in keeping that energy, the damage is done. Like I equate my want to be 24 to how I feel about my physical body. While I've lost 200 pounds, the damage of being 200 pounds heavier is omnipresent, which is why I'm always in physical therapy or something hurts or I'm sucking something in or I'm uncomfortable about something. I keep saying, oh, my 20s did X, Y, and Z to me. My 20s did X, Y, and Z to me. But the truth is all the things that my 20s did to me, it is still doing it to me. I am still dealing with the ramifications of being born in the family that I was born in. I am still living with every bad relationship from 2012 until tonight. I am still unearthing, unlearning, relearning, reliving, reimagining, finally seeing it for what it was. I'm removing the rose-colored glasses. I should take my glasses off now instead of when I just took them off, for those of you watching on YouTube. It's hard to say I got over something when you didn't, when you're not over it, right? Like, all of my birthday, as crazy as my birthday was, all the shit that went on in my personal life before my birthday, during my birthday, after my birthday, the truth is, I was still, a part of me was still Chloe, who was like 24. I was still waiting on one specific birthday text from one person that will never text me. I was still hoping that this one person, while we say we have grown and matured and our relationship has finally evolved to what it should have always been, that maybe she could remember me the way I remember her birthday, her niece's birthday, her favorite this day. I was praying that that person in all of their life have completely moved on. Like, I'm not looking for a romantic moment. I was just looking to know that you remember something about me, because I cannot control alt delete, control alt delete, control alt delete. I cannot remove the things that I remember about you. And it would make sense that maybe you would just go ahead and, oh, I don't know, say happy birthday, because, oh, I don't know, we know each other. Oh, I don't know, we engage with each other. I don't know, you text me a week before that about some totally irrelevant bullshit. You know me. You have my number. You have a calendar. You have ample opportunities, experiences, connections. Hell, you threw me a birthday party once. I always say it blows my mind how people... And when I was 30, I could have had a room. I had a room full of people, a good 50 some odd people, easy. Not a single one of those 50 remember my birthday just 3 years later. So I struggle with my truth, because I always attach it to that Whitney Houston line, if somebody love you, won't they always love you? No, Whitney, they won't. Because for some people, you are a season, a reason, or an invite. So I'm inviting joy, peace, honesty, truth, mourning. I'm mourning things in my 34 because I'm so tired of them inching their way up when I thought they were done. Like the person who I wanted to text me, I don't think about that bitch. Never. I don't think about her unless I have to, unless her name pops up somewhere, or unless I have to engage with her because of our circles. I don't think about her ever. But on big days, birthdays was the worst days. Now we shipping champagne. No, we don't, because that's dumb. People who drink champagne for fun, you're dumb. The fact that I still just want acknowledgement lets me know that I still want closure. I still want an answer. I still want understanding for why the way we fizzled apart happened. So since I want to go back to 24, I got to be prepared to go back to 24. I got to go back to what it felt like when what I thought was the love of my life was getting married. I have to go back to the first time and last time my grandmother did not remember my birthday because stage 4 lung cancer was eating at her brain. I have to go back to that birthday with Uncle James and really talk about how sad I was and how hurt I was and how, for once, it wasn't even about my birthday. I was hurt because I loved him. He was the coolest nigga I ever met in my fucking life. Uncle James was the young sibling. He was my grandmother's baby brother. He was the young one. Uncle James had a gold tooth, tall, skinny, wore the most fire crew necks like Lena Waithe could never. Wore the best snapback caps, had a jerry curl like fucking Boys in the Hood. Uncle James had a Cadillac coupe. Nigga, Uncle James was the coolest nigga I ever met in my fucking life. Every time Uncle James came around, I was geeked. We didn't spend a lot of time because Uncle James was still young. He wasn't that sitting at on the couch cackling, old hen nigga, like his siblings were, like my grandmother and my other aunts and uncle were. Like, he was out there living, still fucking bitches because he was young. He was cool. I was so excited to have a birthday party with Uncle James. That meant I could be in the same room with him, tethered, if you will, for at least an hour and a half. Because Uncle James was a flyby uncle. He's like, hey, y'all, what's up? I'm here. He's the cousin who come by, grab a plate, and leave. Uncle James was so awesome. And I felt awesome because we shared a birthday month. I felt awesome because he loved me and he wanted to have this party with me. He was like, I want to do this party with her. I got to go back and remember that at a time in my life where my birthday was often taken from me because of I talked too much in class, or math was not something I was born with because everybody else in my fucking family are mathematicians. And I just look at those numbers like, bitch, are you dumb? Because I can't do this. I was going to have a great time with all my family. And it was going to be about me and Uncle James. And I know Uncle James was going to make it about me. I knew Uncle James was going to be my nigga, hold my hand, cut the cake with me. Uncle James was going to dance with me. Uncle James was going to be like, I was going to be around my Uncle James. I need to mourn that. Because this story, while I can tell the story of Uncle James, I never attached the feelings to it until now. So while I think it's serendipitous and cute and kitschy, and no, bitch, I'm not running from my age because I look good as fuck for 34. Like, when I say 34, niggas be like, where? Who's 34? Excuse me. So 34 is not, like, I'm not worried about it in a vanity sense. I'm more so worried about it in the same sense I always talk about, like, running this race and being successful and accomplished. I'm concerned about 34 in terms of timelines for career and job and making it to the EGOT and making sure I do something amazing so I can meet Whoopi Goldberg before she dies. Because if I don't meet her and let her know who she is to me, and her be proud to know that she's the reason why I want to be what I want to be, if I don't get to do that while she's still breathing, it'll be another Uncle James. So that's why 34 is fucking with me. Because while I'm getting younger and finer and funnier and cooler, my idols are becoming more and more of a Cicely Tyson. People who deserve to know what they did to me or for me or with me. I deserve to tell them that. And I made peace with knowing that I could never look Whitney Elizabeth Houston in her eye and tell her, you were my mother. I will never get to say Amy Jade Winehouse, when you fucking sat down and instead of killing yourself, you wrote, for you I was a flame. Love is a losing game. Since I don't get to tell you what that means. Since Mac motherfucking Miller, don't you put any more stress on yourself. It's one day at a time. I think I know it all, but I don't. I made peace with saying goodbye to those people and not being able to say hello to them. And just in this podcast, I just realized that I didn't make peace with saying goodbye to Uncle James because I didn't say goodbye to Uncle James because they never told me to my face he was dead. I found out in passing, still thinking, what's up with my birthday party? How quickly my birthday party became a bereavement banquet. So, welcome to my shit show. What an episode. Episode 1, season 2, Insecure the Podcast. This is your insecure as fuck ass host, and I had a birthday, and I'm having multiple birthdays and a lot of funerals within. And as sure as I'm sitting here, you'll be listening here, and we'll see what comes out of it. But just know, 35 live and living color, bitch, is going all the way down basement. And speaking of basements, I don't want to end up in one. So can you guys please like, rate, subscribe, share, retweet, hashtag tell your friends. Hell, tell me that you love this project, that you want this project, that you hate this project. Tell me something. Communicate with me. Email me at insecurethepodcast@gmail.com. And I would like to end with a question because I know I leave it a little heavy. What's your favorite birthday moment? And what's a birthday moment you will never forget? They don't have to be the same. Favorite birthday moment and a birthday moment you will never forget. And I'm going to throw one in for me. What's a dream birthday experience you would like to have? Money's not an object. Time's not an object. Mortality's not an object. You can bring back some old niggas. Bitch, for my birthday, I would like to have tea with Maya Angelou so she could tell me to stop calling people bitches because she know how the cage birds sing. You know, that type of shit. But I'm going to get the fuck up out of here because this was a lot and I was not prepared. And I'm sorry for those of you who always got to see me cry. But you know what? My tears, my fears, my insecurities are for me to share with you because I know I have proof that I'm not the only one who lives life this way. I'm not the only one who feels this way. I'm not the only one who has a birthday situationship. Happy birthday, Chloe Beck. Happy birthday, Insecure the Podcast Season 2. You were born today. Let's see what happens before we lay Season 2 to rest, shall we? And like Cicely Tyson, like Uncle James, like Whitney, like Mac Miller, like Amy, like Michael Jackson, I'm going to go ahead and head on out. All right, y'all. Stay black. And if you're not black, you should be. All right, bye. Are you listening?